You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 17. We are mock drafting the NHL Draft, talking AHL and CHL playoffs, and we are joined by Dauber Hockey / Dauber Prospects writer Cam Robinson. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 17 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. I am with my co-host, Peter Harlan, managing editor of DauberProspects.com. Peter, the NHL draft lottery has been decided. New Jersey, Philadelphia, and Dallas are the three winners in that order. What do you think?
You know, everyone says that this isn't a great draft, and that's just not true. It just lacks top-end generational talent. So for a year that just takes the draft lottery and throws the teams into blender, basically, and doesn't matter where you finished, here's who gets the first overall pick. I'm really glad that it didn't happen in a year where you have the likes of a Connor McDavid available. How crushing would that be to get knocked right out of the top three when you have a draft like we've had in the last 2 years? So, you know, I don't think that there's much separation between who's ranked at the top of the draft and then like the next 15 guys. So it made for a really exciting draft lottery result. It's going to make for a really exciting draft. And I can't wait for it. I'm really looking forward to get it all started.
Yeah, and we kind of saw this coming. I'm pretty sure I read, was it Tankathon, I think, does it? Tankathon.com, I believe it is. Colorado had a better chance of getting the fourth overall pick than they did winning the overall lottery.
Yeah, it was the same formula as last year. The Leafs just got lucky and won, but yeah, they really got lucky, and so this year it's New Jersey's turn, and I'm really happy for Philadelphia too. I mean, here's a team that's building the hard way. They're not tanking, but they're building their team through youth and through the draft and acquiring prospects and doing it the hard way. And so it's really nice to see a team like that, you know, get rewarded. It's the hockey gods are smiling.
Yeah, they're the biggest movers, moving up 11 spots from 13th to second overall. That Ron Hextall's got to be excited being the GM there. But Peter, you want to get right into the first segment? Well, let's start the mock draft.
Yeah, I can't wait for the NHL draft. So let's do our own little mock draft right now, yeah?
Yeah, all right. You are GM Ray Sherrill. You just won the draft lottery, New Jersey Devils. Where are you going?
I think when you have the first overall pick, the statement you have to pick the best player available, it's never more relevant than the first pick. So in my opinion, he's been first all year in draft rankings, and there's maybe a little bit of a recency bias with some players having really good performances lately, but for me it's still Nolan Patrick. You know, he was the slam dunk first overall pick at the beginning of the year. He was beset by injuries. And you look at other players who in their draft year were beset by injuries, and players like Alex Galchenyuk comes to mind. And, you know, he didn't really fall too hard down his draft. But and it's a good thing, too, because if you look at it, he's probably the best player from that draft. So the fact that Patrick had a couple injuries, it's not like he had concussion injuries or anything that I think will be chronic and career threatening. So I still take him at first overall. So you get the Ron Hextall biggest lottery win at pick number two. Who do you take?
And I really think Philadelphia is in the best case scenario here. I kind of referenced this draft to 2010, where it was Taylor Hall and Tyler Seguin, and Boston just kind of got whoever wasn't chosen. I think Philadelphia is going to go the same route here. If New Jersey takes Patrick, which you did, I think they're going to turn around and go Nico Hischier, which I think they're going to really like this kid. He's kind of compared to Claude Giroux on most of his game. So they already got a Claude Giroux. They're going to have a younger Claude Giroux. Maybe not a Canadian, but he's from Switzerland, and he might be just as good as Claude Giroux come 5, 6, 7 years into his career. So I think Philadelphia is going to be real excited about having Nico Hischier at number two.
That's such a great pick for them. They're so loaded with defense prospects. I mean, they can't fit anymore in their system. And they've got some really good goaltender prospects coming down the pipe for them, too. So for me, it's a no-brainer. They got to take a forward. And yeah, he's the best one. So that's two off the board. Next up would be the Dallas Stars. So here's a tricky one. They got some good defense prospects in their system. But I still think the best player available is going to apply here. And I think they could use some help up front in the youth department as well. So I'm liking Casey Milstead here. I think this is a kid that could come in, and when he's ready in a few years, could be one, could be two seasons. He'll fit in nicely right between Tyler Seguin and Jason Spezza. And as Spezza's career winds down, Mittelstadt will take on a larger role. The fact that he played high school hockey this year, it doesn't deter me at all. He had a tremendous Hlinka tournament at the start of the year. He dominated at a higher level at the USHL. I don't have any concerns. He's got all of the attributes, size, skill, smarts, skating. He can do everything. I think he's going to be an absolute stud, and I think he's one of the more underrated players in the draft. So that's Dallas and Mittelstadt off the board, number four.
All right, number four is Colorado. GM Joe Sakic has got a tough decision to make. Does he go defenseman? Does he go forward? Does he go best player available? I'm going to lean towards he goes defenseman. He's got some pretty stud forwards in Mikko Rantanen and Nathan MacKinnon. He still has Matt Duchene and Gabriel Landeskog that he might move for other talent. But I think going defenseman here makes sense because you're not going to find a number four overall for Matt Duchene or Gabriel Landeskog. And then the next decision is Miro Heiskanen or Timothy Liljegren. Liljegren, his stock is falling little by little every month, pretty much. It just seems like everybody's just dropping him down. And I think it's got a lot to do with having mono at the beginning of the year. I don't think we should fault this kid for having mono and losing the pretty much the most important part of the season, the very beginning of the season, where you're getting back out of the summer, you're trying to get your body back into shape. I don't think you can fault him for that. I'm going to pick Timothy Liljegren for Colorado.
I think that's a great pick, and I think they absolutely have to take a defenseman. I mean, I don't think they've picked a defenseman in the first round since Eric Johnson, which is like 2010. So, yeah, I mean, really what makes sense here for Colorado to do is to try and trade down and get multiple picks later on in the first round. But, I mean, can't mock that kind of nonsense.
Yeah, that's a tough exercise to mock.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll stick with the pick. And I think you nailed it with Liljegren. Nice job. I could see him fitting in really well with Detroit too, but I don't think he's going to fall that far. But moving on in the draft, let's go with the number five pick, and that is the Vancouver Canucks. And I think they're in the best player available situation. They've got some good defense and some good offense and a good goalie prospect. They got cornerstones in each position with Olli Juolevi, Brock Besser, and Thatcher Demko as forward, winger, defense. So I think maybe one position they could use would be a center. So I really think the best player available for them and to meet their needs is one and the same, and that's Cody Glass.
Nice. I like it. I really want to see what Cam Robinson, our guest later in the third segment, says about Cody Glass and how he did at the under-18s, because Canada didn't look so hot. So stay tuned for that. A little bit of a teaser for you, Peter. All right, I'm on to number six, Vegas. And this is the team I'm now covering for DauberProspects.com, so I'm really excited that I get to choose for the Vegas Golden Knights and their first pick in a draft. They'll probably have they will have their team sorted out from the expansion draft, so this is good. This mock draft is definitely going to probably change with what Vegas gets in the expansion draft, and I think it's going to be very difficult for people to mock what Vegas does in their first NHL entry draft. But I think they're going to go best player available. I've seen a lot that they're going to go with a defenseman, because if you have a cornerstone defenseman to build an expansion team around, it's probably a good idea. But I'm going with Gabe Vilardi from the Windsor Spitfires. He has impressed me all year. I really enjoy watching this kid play. He can play center. He can play wing. I think he can do it all, and he's going to be a great top six. He might not be that first line center winger player, but he's going to be definitely in the top six 1, 2, 3 years from now. So I'm going Gabe Vilardi for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a center or a defenseman. You know, up the middle is where you want to go when you've got an absolute clean slate, which is exactly what Vegas has. Arizona, on the other hand, they have got their cupboards loaded. They got tons and tons of prospects, and most of them are forwards. They got some young guys on the back end right now. You got to like OEL. The jury's still out on D'Angelo if whether or not he can mature his game to the NHL level. So with all that being said, I think this is another example of the player that they need is one and the same with the best player available. I've seen a lot of mock drafts lately that have Finnish defenseman Miro Heiskanen going as high as number two. So if he falls to seven and all these draft rankings are correct that he's a top three player, I think Arizona would be ecstatic and they would not pass on Miro Heiskanen.
Nice. I like that pick. And yeah, a lot of people are putting him in top three, top four, the best defenseman available, and getting him at seven, Arizona's going to just be super excited. And John Chyka, he had a good first draft last year, getting Chychrun pretty much out of bargain. So getting Miro Heiskanen at seven, it's going to make him look like a genius, I think.
Yeah, if it happens, yeah.
All right, we're just about halfway done. Let's go over quickly New Jersey, Nolan Patrick, Philadelphia, Nico Hischier, Dallas, Casey Mittelstadt, Colorado, Timothy Liljegren, Vancouver picked Cody Glass, Vegas picked Gabe Vilardi, Arizona took Miro Heiskanen. We're on to number eight, Buffalo, with no GM. That it's really, really weird that they're going into draft season with no GM. It's just tire fire season for them.
How much do you think the GM has to say in the pick, or do you think it's the director of scouting that tells the GM who they're picking?
It depends on if the GM brings in his own director of scouting, or is it like, do they have a director of scouting right now? Like who's making the decision right now?
The owner.
Yeah.
And, that's really scary.
And he's not making good decisions with either Buffalo team. He's brought the money. He hasn't brought the smarts of running businesses and sports, so the Bills and Sabres are hurting for that reason. But
send in your resume, Paul.
Yeah, I covered them in DauberProspects.com for a year, so I know their system.
and if you do get the job, who would you pick?
I'm gonna go with a defenseman. I think they need defensive help. Brandon Goulet looks outstanding, and Ristolainen is real great, but you need 3, 4, 5 defensemen in your prospect depth. So I'm going to go with a defenseman here, and I'm kind of ticked that you took Miro Heiskanen. I thought he was going to fall. I thought you might have went forward with Arizona. So I either had Heiskanen or Cale Makar, and I'm going Cale Makar here with Buffalo. They definitely need a defenseman.
Yeah, it's kind of hard not to take Makar in that position, right? I mean, he could be the best defenseman in the draft. He certainly has fantasy upside. I can't wait to see what he does in the NCAA next season. And who knows, he could be a one and done. So he could be in Buffalo before too long. All right. So that moves us along to Detroit. Yes,
that is correct.
While the Detroit Red Wings sorely need some defense prospects. So this is a sticky situation because the best player available isn't a defenseman. I think there are better forwards available. So I think that they'll take the best player available and hope that they can get a home run in later rounds with a defenseman. They have a penchant for Russian and Swedish players. So I think they're going to roll the dice and go with Elias Pettersson here. And he's a versatile winger center. Maybe they can get him in before Zetterberg retires and see if they can't have him learn a thing or two about being a Swedish superstar from one of their greatest players, Henrik Zetterberg. So Detroit goes with Elias Pettersson.
I really like that pick. I think this draft has a lot of mid-range level defenseman. So if you don't get the Liljegren, the Heiskanen, and the Makar, I don't think you go reaching if you're Detroit. I think you go with best player available once those three guys are gone. If Makar makes it to Detroit, I think they would be taking Makar, no shadow of a doubt, or Heiskanen or Liljegren. But yeah, without those three guys, I definitely would go best player available, and I think the Peterson pick is definitely that. So good pick there.
Thanks.
All right, we're moving on to number 10, Florida. Dale Talon, tough decision to make. He was a top team 2 years ago, and then last year kind of flopped, and what a messy situation with their coaching staff and executives, and just a whole whack of not good decisions made. He's going to try and right this ship, and I think he really likes Finnish players. I think it might be a little bit of a reach, but Christian Vasilainen here, I think he's going to try and hit a home run, and Vasilainen has that possibility of being a home run player. So Christian Vasilainen at number 10 is where I'm going to go with Florida.
Yeah, he's a player that he's like all over the map on draft rankings. I see him up right near the top. I see him near the bottom of the first round. Terrible season, great U18, really a polarizing, one of the more polarizing players in the draft. But Florida, you know what? That's a great pick because they've got a young team and they've got good young prospects. And they can go for, I'm not sure I call him a boomer or a bust, but an almost boomer bust player. I really like him. He's a good pick. That's well done.
All right, we're moving on to number 11. You got Los Angeles on the clock.
Yeah, Los Angeles finally has a first-round pick. It's been forever since they've had a draft pick. They really need to get some youth, and they really need to get some scoring. I look at players who could make an impact offensively, and I see guys like Owen Tippett and Kyler Yamamoto on the board, but Los Angeles, they got a new GM, but typically they like big, heavy forwards. So that makes me want to lean towards Owen Tippett here. I think that's a little... Yeah, they'll take Owen Tippett. Why not?
Yeah, you thought yourself into it?
I did, yeah. I mean, I got my doubts about his game ever since Craig Button was on our show, and he suggested that he's got some hockey sense issues. And I watched him play again live since Craig was on our show, and I see what he's talking about. He's hard to notice when he's got the puck, but when he does have the puck, he can be electric. His shot is otherworldly. He skates really well. He's got size. He's like a bigger version of Phil Kessel. Yeah, and he's a young player, so I think he's going to grow into his game, and I think he'll be okay. And and Los Angeles could certainly use some goal scoring, so they're happy to take Owen Tippett, and that makes it the 12th overall pick. Carolina Hurricanes, another team loaded with prospects. This will be interesting.
Yeah, I kind of was going Owen Tippett here. I really wanted him to be a Carolina Hurricane for many reasons, but I think Tippett going to Los Angeles, I think Los Angeles is going to be one of those teams that might move down in the draft, and you can't really do that in the mock draft like we said earlier, but I think they're going to try and get a couple first-round picks. Maybe they trade with, like, St. Louis maybe. The team that's got a couple picks in the first two rounds, try and turn one pick into two because they need the prospect depth rather than just one top prospect.
That makes so much sense. Yeah, they have really mortgaged the future with trading draft picks. And it's paid off. They got Stanley Cups. So, you know, no one in Los Angeles is complaining. But they didn't make the playoffs this year. They got little coming down the pipe. So that resonates with me. That makes sense. But like you said, it's a mock draft. So they'll pick and we'll move on. Who's up for Carolina, Paul?
I wrote down that their need was a defenseman, but also that they should go best player available. And I think the same thing as we said as Detroit, you can find defensemen in the second round that you shouldn't go reaching in the first round for a defenseman after the first three. I'm going to go with Martin Nakash. I think he will fit real well in Carolina. So Martin Nakash to the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, that's a solid pick. They do have a good young blue line already, and they got some more young guys coming. So going with the center can't hurt. All right, moving on to the Jets. The Jets have a clear need for a defenseman. I mean, they really don't have a lot of depth coming on the back end. They got some good ones, but not a lot of them. All right, so they're going to have to go with Yusuf Välimäki here. He's the next best defenseman available. So Winnipeg picks Välimäki.
Nice. I really like that pick. Moving on to Tampa Bay 14. I'm gonna go Kaylor Yamamoto. I think they do real well with the smaller size players. So Kaylor Yamamoto is gonna go to the Tampa Bay Lightning.
That's a great pick. And you're absolutely right. They've got no qualms with picking the younger, super skilled forwards. And that's exactly what Yamamoto is. I mean, he could be one of the most talented players in the draft, right up there with Mittelstadt and Heischer. If he were just, 6 pounds and, or sorry, 6 inches and 50 pounds bigger, he'd be right up in the top three. So that's a great value pick for Tampa Bay. I like that a lot. That leaves us with the last pick overall, the New York Islanders. And I think this comes down to a one or the other. It's going to be either Rasmussen or Tolvanen. And it's gonna go to Eli Tolvanen. He's arguably the best goal scorer in the draft. Doesn't have the same holes that Tippett does, but he's not as big. Skates really well. But yeah, you need a setup man for a player like this. And lucky for the Islanders, they've got Matt Barzal. So Barzal Tolvanen 1-2 punch in the future could look real good. So the New York Islanders take Eli Tolvanen.
I really like that, and they're trying to keep John Tavares happy, so and giving him a little toy of Eli Tolvin and being like, "Hey, this guy can play. Here you go, John. Stay with us." So I think that's a real good pick there that Islanders are going with a guy that can shoot the puck, like probably one of the best in the draft at shooting the puck. So yeah, all right, let's run through this again real quick, Peter, just so everybody's got it written down and can follow along. Nolan Patrick, number one to the Devils. Nico Hischier to the Flyers. Casey Mittelstadt was picked up by the Dallas Stars. Number four, Colorado pick, Timothy Liljegren. Vancouver took Cody Glass. The sixth spot, Vegas picked up Gabe Vilardi as their first overall pick in their franchise. Arizona Coyotes took the defenseman Miro Heiskanen. At eight, Buffalo takes Cale Makar. Detroit gets Elias Pettersson at nine. Florida takes Christian Vasilainen. LA at number 11 takes Owen Tippett. Carolina gets Martin Nakash at 12. Winnipeg takes a defenseman, Yuso Välimäki, at 13. Tampa Bay takes the little guy, Kaylor Yamamoto. And Eli Tolvanen goes to the New York Islanders. I think we did a pretty good job there, Peter.
I think we nailed it. This is exactly how it's going to go down in June. Or not.
Or not, because they're mock drafts and they're completely wrong after the first two picks. Case in point, Pierre-Luc Dubois last year.
Exactly. All right, so that is the top 15 players in the draft according to Dauber Prospects Radio. But if you're looking for more information on entry draft players, you'll get some more of that on this show for sure. But we cover the entire league and players after they're drafted, and it's a fantasy-based show. So for the best spot for NHL entry draft prospects has to be the draft analyst. Our friend Steve Cornianos is the owner of the draft analyst. He's got the draft analyst podcast, which you should subscribe to on iTunes or SoundCloud or whatever you like your podcasts on. He's got six episodes. They're about an hour each, and he spends a good chunk of time talking about four or five players per podcast. He's got most of the players from the first round covered already, and he also does some of the lesser known guys or the sleeper picks, mid-round players. It's an outstanding podcast. Check out his blog, The Draft Analyst, and follow him on Twitter, the draft analyst. Again, his name is Steve Kornianos, and he dedicates a lot of his time to watching draft eligible prospects, at much more than we do. We cover all of them. So if you're looking for specifically the draft, that's the one-stop shopping. That's the place you want to go. Check him out. And that's a wrap for segment one. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with some playoff talk.
All right, time to shift gears. We're going to talk about a little bit of the playoffs that have been happening. AHL, CHL, we're kind of getting into the break and ending a break. The CHL is in a break right now. We're recording on a Tuesday night, and we're waiting till Thursday. And the AHL's got two game fives on Tuesday night, and then we're getting right back into the seven-game series round two. Peter, you went to a playoff game, Toronto, Albany, game three, overtime. Who won?
It was a pretty exciting game, and the Marlies were able to pull it off. They took a penalty really late in the third period and started overtime short, killed the penalty, and promptly won the game. It was a really entertaining game. I had a good time.
Nice. Who stood out for you?
There's a couple of players. So first of all, a couple players off Albany. John Quenneville, he's the straw that stirs the drink for Albany, or he was. They're eliminated now, but yeah, he's the catalyst for them offensively. He scored a really nice goal. Quick wrister, post and in. The goalie just kind of waved at it. Didn't really have a chance. It was a heck of a shot. The most part, the players that really stood out for me that I was really watching were the Marlies. So I had some observations. Andreas Janssen is a player who I've been really looking forward to him coming over to North America. Heard a lot of really good things about him in Sweden. And his first season over, he got hit and concussed pretty badly, and kind of, vanilla since this season. But for the second half of the season, he's really started to show that he's getting comfortable in the league. And some things I noticed about him some last week were his ability to handle passes, and really hot passes, like slap passes or passes that were behind him, or the subtlety he's able to, knock it down, like wobbling puck out of the air on his backhand, put it in a position where he's able to take a couple of quick steps and skate into the puck and create some separation. He's really showing some offensive creativity too. He made a really hard pass. He was facing the boards up by his blue line, throws a look over his shoulder, and then looks the other way, engages how much time he has before he gets crushed by the impending player, which was almost none. He made a saucer backhand pass while facing the boards through the neutral zone, just over the center ice line, and hit the recipient on the tape in stride, and without looking, and was able to spin away from the devastating check that was breathing down his neck. That was a really impressive play. Dmitry Timoshov is another winger that's come up from the queue that had put up some good numbers in the queue and haven't really seen a lot of that transition yet. He had some really glorious scoring chances where he picked the puck up along the half wall and he found a lane, walked right up into the slot, and three times. The first time, he made an ill-advised pass that faded into nothing and was a dead play. The next two times he did it, he shot, but missed the net, and not by a little. Maybe it was just an off game for him, but I wasn't really impressed with that. On another positive note, Travis Dermott really impressed me. He's the Marlies' top defenseman now, and I don't think it's even close. In terms of a call-up, he would be the next guy I would look for as a call-up opportunity for Toronto. They've got some guys that are riding, serving popcorn in the press box all season long, so he'd have to leapfrog one of those guys, but he's a smart player. He made some really good, confident, handsy plays at the blue line, head-faking players away, a little spin move to find a skating lane or a passing lane or a shooting lane from the point. And he was also really vocal, directing traffic, telling his teammates where to go, who to cover. He looked right at home at pro hockey in his first year. And the Marlies' top line of Frederick Gauthier with Leipzig and Kapanen was dominant and dynamic for most of the game. So those are some players that that really stood out to me. There's a bunch of other players playing throughout the AHL that are really noteworthy too. Alex Lyon with Lehigh Valley Phantoms, a goalie. He's looked really well. Albany's goalie, Mackenzie Blackwood, actually. I was impressed with him as well. He's eliminated now, but he had a 2.13 goals against average. Looks like there could be some movement with the New Jersey goaltending situation. Keith Kincaid's free agent. Number one is established, but Mackenzie Blackwood could see himself getting some NHL time next season. And the Leafs goalie, Kazmir Kaskuzo, looks like he's supplanted. Garrett Sparks is the Marlies' go-to goalie. He's got a 0.96 goals against average, less than a goal a game. So he's been really good. Good young goalie. Not sure if he's the goalie of the future for Toronto, but he's played really well for them in this playoff. So that's what I'm looking at in the AHL right now. What jumps out at me? What have you noticed, Paul?
I'm gonna stay along the lines with goalies, and there's not a lot of goalie jobs in the NHL, but there could be some backup goaltending. I really like Zane McIntyre in Providence. He out-dueled Casey DeSmith, who was one of the best goaltenders in the regular season, along with Tristan Jarry from Wilkes-Barre. And Zane McIntyre outplayed him big time. So Providence beat Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and that was a huge upset. I don't think the Bruins were very likely to win, and they ended up ousting the top team in the regular season, the Baby Penguins. Danton Heinen is a big reason for that as well. 6 points in 5 games. Heinen is likely going to be a Bruin next year, so look out for him. I know Frank Vetrano was that guy last year, and I think Heinen's going to be this Bruin this year that moves up into the top team. Another goalie to look out for, Jared Carreau. We had him on our fantasy radars when Jimmy Howard went down. He kind of supplanted Peter Mrazek in the net for Detroit, but he's looking great for Grand Rapids. And Grand Rapids overall looks fantastic. Svechnikov looks really good. Tyler Bertuzzi looks really good. They're not at the top of the points list because they've only played 3 games. They swept Milwaukee Admirals, so they're points per game leaders in the AHL. So Tyler Bertuzzi and Andrei Svechnikov look really good. A guy that I thought was going to be in the NHL this year, Stanislav Galiev for Hershey, is looking unbelievable as well. 5 points in 5 games for Hershey, who upset the Lehigh Valley Alex Lyon, like you said earlier. Stanislav Galiev is one of the main reasons why Hershey's moving on to the next round. They're going to go up against the Providence Bruins, who both are the underdogs, so anybody could come out of that. And Stanislav Galiev could carry his team further into the playoffs and might put him on the radar for the Capitals next year. So look out for Galiev. One guy that I really wanted to make a note of, Reed Duke, the first guy signed with the Vegas Golden Knights. He signed a professional tryout contract with the Chicago Wolves April 7th. And George McPhee said, we were very excited about this. Reed Duke gets to play a little bit more professional hockey. But Reed Duke did not dress a single game from April 7th till now. I know the Wolves are now in the playoffs, and they beat out Charlotte Checkers 3-2 in the game, 5-game series, but I don't think he's going to get into the lineup if he wasn't able to make it into the lineup in the regular season. So I'm keeping an eye on him. He's on my radar, Reed Duke. I want to see what he does if he does get into a game, but I don't think that's going to happen. The Chicago Wolves are a pretty stacked team with Tage Thompson and a bunch of other Blues guys. So Reed Duke is on my radar. Yeah, that's basically the guys I'm looking out for, Peter. I did want to bring up the AHL movement around next year. You mentioned you went to the Albany Devils. Well, they're moving to Binghamton next year to become the Binghamton Devils. I think that moves them a little bit closer to New Jersey, which is kind of the trend right now in the AHL, is everybody's moving their AHL teams closer. And the trend is continuing because Binghamton is moving the Ottawa team, the Binghamton Senators, to Belleville Senators, which is how far away, Peter, from Ottawa?
It's like a 2-hour drive, 3-hour drive.
Yeah, so that's definitely going to help them going
with no border crossing.
Yeah, going from Binghamton to Belleville, so they'll become the Belleville Senators, and their logo is out. It's basically the exact same as the Ottawa Senators, which is kind of boring, but I will tweet out all three of these logos that we're talking about, the Binghamton Devils, the Belleville Senators, and the St. John's Ice Caps. They will no longer be on the Rock. They are moving to Laval, Quebec, which is about 14 minutes away from Montreal. So they're moving real close to their team. I think they're going to try and do what the Toronto Marlies did with their team, moving them super close. And I think it helps both the NHL and the AHL teams when they move that close to their affiliates. So look out for the Laval Rocket, Peter. The Laval Rocket, named after Rocket Richard. How nice is that?
That's solid. And don't forget, all the California teams moved out from, like, northeastern Canada a few years ago to California. So now we've got the Ontario Reign, the San Diego Gulls, and the San Jose Barracuda, all in California. So, yeah, man, it makes so much sense. You have your affiliate team, like, a cab ride away. You can move players up and down, especially with the salary cap too, where you really need to nickel and dime it in some situations. And and the Belleville team not having to or the Senators franchise not having to worry about going through a border crossing anymore. So not only do you save a couple hours of drive time off your, if you get called up or sent down, you don't have to worry about customs and green cards and border crossings and all of that nonsense. You just hop in your car and go for a short drive and you're there.
Yeah, exactly. Vegas needs an affiliate. We should mention that. And there's kind of been rumors that they're going to become the Chicago Wolves. Well, that means St. Louis's team, that is now the Chicago Wolves, it's got to move somewhere else. And there's rumors that they're going to go to Kansas City. So it's just happening all over the AHL. Vegas, I think they're kind of stuck. They might make a Fresno team maybe if they can't get into Chicago. But Vegas might be in a little bit of trouble. But they'll probably find a spot to put an affiliate close by. But they also might do a dual affiliation. So maybe that's why Reed Duke that I mentioned before is playing for Chicago. Maybe they're affiliating with the Chicago Wolves and they're not just going to take over the Wolves. But the AHL commissioner came out, I think about a month ago, and said that the league will expand to 31 teams by hopefully by 2018-19, if not next season.
Vegas is going to have a hard time filling up all those. They're not going to be able to fill an entire American Hockey League roster in their first year. So sharing an affiliate in year one makes a lot of sense. And, you know, it allows them to get their comfort, get in a bit of a groove in their first season and focus on maybe establishing their own full-time affiliate independently, maybe close to Vegas. I don't know, Reno or something like that. Maybe somewhere in New Mexico.
Yeah, I think it'll really depend on how well hockey sells in Nevada. So if hockey's selling in Nevada, then maybe they will bring an AHL team. If it's not, then they're going to look elsewhere, I believe. Let's segue, Peter. Are you ready for this segue?
Hit me.
We talked off air. Darren Radish is unsigned. He's playing for the Erie Otters. They're going to the OHL championship against the Mississauga Steelheads. How is this guy not signed? How has Vegas not found a spot for him on their empty roster? Like, Darren Radish is playing unbelievable.
I have no answer for that. It's befuddling to me. So for anyone who's not totally familiar with Darren Radish, he's the older brother of Tampa Bay Lightning pick Taylor Radish. And Darren is an overager playing in the OHL. He's 21 years old. He's a 6'1", 201-pound right-shot defenseman. Played the full season with Erie this year, 62 games. He scored 16 goals and 65 assists for 81 points. He also racked up a PIM per game at 63 PIMs, and his plus-minus, are you ready for this, was plus 62.
Okay. That's bonkers.
That's otherworldly. Yes, Erie is a very, very good team. They're an all-star team. They're in the OHL finals, and they're my pick, if their goaltending holds up, to make it to the Memorial Cup from the O. All that being said, I mean, I don't know what else this kid can do. I mean, yeah, he's an overager, and he's dominating. And overagers are supposed to do that. But he's the first player in the history of the OHL to win both the Overager of the Year award and the Most Outstanding Defenseman of the Year. He was just named the Outstanding Defenseman of the Year award today. So previous winners of this award include names like Anthony DeAngelo, Aaron Ekblad, Dougie Hamilton, Ryan Ellis, Mark Stahl, Brian Campbell, Chris Pronger, Al McInnes, you know, pretty good players.
Yeah, there's maybe one that's not an NHL stalwart in that list.
Yeah, the jury's still out on Anthony DeAngelo, too. We'll see. So, yeah, I don't know. I met him after the game in Kingston. I interviewed him. I talked to him. I asked him how come he's not signed yet, and he looked as befuddled as me, and he said, I just keep on playing my game, and my agent's telling me just be patient, and good things will happen, and I really believe they will. And I think this is a case where as soon as his season is over, he's going to have to put pen to paper. He's too good for a training camp invite, in my opinion. Just sign him.
Yeah.
And if no one makes more sense than Vegas. I mean, so Vegas is going to get a bunch of players out of the expansion draft. Half of those players will, more than half of them, almost the entire team will make up their NHL roster, right? They'll do a little bit in free agency too. You're not going to get any players out of the NHL entry draft to play on your NHL roster, especially with them picking at sixths. I just don't see a player coming out of this draft that's going to make an impact on their NHL roster, and they'd be foolhardy to force a player in to try and sell tickets. Ask Ottawa how that worked out with Alexander Dagg. So, you know, they need prospects who are in between NHL and entry draft, and 21-year-old players like Darren Radish are the perfect example. So, it's befuddling to me. Like I said, he's the perfect fit for Las Vegas, in my opinion.
Yeah, they need to sign a full AHL team. Like, they're not getting an expansion AHL draft in this whole expansion, so they need to fill their NHL team with the expansion draft. They need to fill their AHL team with unsigned guys, free agent guys. So,
yeah, but like we just said, they're not going to have a full AHL roster that they need to fill in their inaugural season, but you got to have guys you can call up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you don't want to be pulling guys on an emergency basis out of the CHL to, you know, jump into the NHL, because they're just not going to have a deep enough prospect cupboard for that. And, you know, all those players will be 18 years old. So, yeah, you really want to have a couple of guys playing pro hockey in the AHL or somewhere that you can say, hey, come to Vegas, we need you.
Yeah, and eventually they're going to need an ECHL team. That's way down the line. I don't think that's coming next year or the year after, but they need to find contracts and need to start signing some guys to even just amateur, like the AHL contracts they need to start finding. So I don't know why Darren Radish is unsigned. It befuddles you. It befuddles me. You've been riding this guy pretty much all year. You've really liked him. You've been just pumping his tires, and I guess NHL general managers aren't listening to the DPR show, Paul or Peter. So
yeah, I want to sign him in my fantasy league, and I can't until he's affiliated with the NHL team. So if someone could please do me the favor and sign this guy so I can add him to my team, that'd be great.
All right, let's continue the OHL. Mississauga versus Erie. It's going to be just unbelievable hockey. Really high scoring. The goalie's questionable. Marinson, yeah, he's got the goaltender of the week in the CHL, but like we talked off air, there's only six that could really win it, because there's only six goalies left in the CHL to be playing. So the goalies aren't going to be the factor in this. It's going to be the high scoring forwards. And where do you want to start first, Peter?
Well, I think I'm going to have to go and give the edge to Erie in this situation. If you look at the top five scoring leaders in OHL playoffs, four of them belong to the Erie Otters. Our good buddy Alex DeBrincat is dominating. He's 31 points, which is five ahead of the next highest scoring player, who's Taylor Radish, who's 1 point ahead of Dylan Strome. Mike McLeod sneaks in at number four, but number five, you've got Anthony Cirelli, 23 points, Tampa Bay Lightning prospect. And Anthony Cirelli was just named the CHL Player of the Week. He's had three multi-point games in a week. He had a hat trick in the game deciding series. He's just Mr. Clutch. So you got a little bit of everything. You've got Strome, who a lot of people thought would be in the NHL, the top prospect, probably not in the NHL, arguably. Alex DeBrincat, who's like Rudy, the little engine that could. Everybody loves the underdog. The only weakness they could possibly have is in goal. So they've got a lot of depth. They've got a lot of all-star power, but so does Mississauga. I think I give the edge in goaltending to Mississauga, actually. Matt Mancina, overage goalie, as you mentioned, was named the CHL goalie of the week. He's going to have to be lights out. He's going to have to be great and keep them in games. There's no way they're going to keep Erie off the scoreboard, but if you can keep it to a manageable number, Mississauga's got the firepower. They can punch back in that kind of a game. I was really impressed with Ville Sarjärvi. I went to game one of the Eastern Conference Finals, and this kid can skate. He's got great vision. Mike McLeod, as I mentioned, is fourth overall in scoring. He's a New Jersey Devils prospect. His younger brother, Ryan McLeod, looks every bit as good, if not potentially better, than Mike McLeod. And he's a player who's eligible for the 18 draft, so not this summer, but next. And side note, that draft is going to be lights out good. Two more players who are eligible for the draft, Owen Tippett and Nick Hague. Both were early first-round picks, considering at the start of the season. Both have kind of slipped down a little bit. Listen through our catalog, see what NHL former general manager Craig Button had to say about these two players. Pretty interesting insight on them. And a player who I'm really familiar with that is, I think, still a little bit underrated. We talked about him as well. Spencer Watson, former Kingston Frontenac. This kid's got just the softest set of hands. He's a little undersized, but man, he can handle the puck like nobody's business. He's been playing on the line with McLeod, and the two of them are showing some pretty scary good chemistry. So this is going to be like a best of seven all-star series conference championship final. It's just really unfortunate that both these teams can't make it to the Memorial Cup. I can't wait for it to start. So that's my takes on the O.
So you're going Erie in how many games? Six games? You want it to go seven? I would love it to go seven and see
seven overtime.
Yeah, every bit of hockey we can of these two teams.
Yeah, and make sure you watch Detroit prospect Ville Sarjärvi. This kid is, I'm telling you, he's got the stuff. He's a little guy, but man, he's got the smarts and he's got the skating. He'll make it to the NHL.
All right, let's jump over to the WHL. The Regina Pats, the pretty much been at the top of the rankings of the CHL all year, are going up against the Seattle Thunderbirds, who have been dealt with a bunch of injuries. So what's your prognosis here, Peter?
Yeah, Seattle. They got some misfortune. Their goalie went out, but that's okay. They got this 17-year-old kid named Carl Stankowski. I swear I'm not making that up. He's 5'9", 163, so he's kind of small, and he only played 17 games during the regular season, but he made it to the U17 tournament at the start of the year for Canada, and he got injured. So he missed almost the entire season from an injury sustained at the beginning of the year. But he's been the go-to guy in the playoffs. He's played 14 games. He's got a 2.48 goals against average and a .913 save percentage, and he's like literally stole them some games. So again, looking forward to the 2018 draft. Here's a kid who I'll be watching for the playoffs to see how he can handle the heat, and if he makes the Memorial Cup, that'd be great. But next year he should have, you know, a full season of scouting opportunity. But he's looked pretty confident and cool and calm in the playoffs after not playing all season. So that's really interesting. Bad news for Seattle again. Their top defenseman, Ethan Bear, sounds like he's got a broken hand or a hand injury of some kind. A little sketchy on the details, but I don't think you'll be seeing Ethan Bear in this series. So that's a bit of a blow, which you got to think would maybe tip it to Regina. They have Adam Brooks, a Toronto Maple Leafs prospect, who is overager and has had a really, really good season for Regina. He's got a goal and seven assists for 8 points in the last four games for Regina. So, you know, conference final, he's got 2 points a game. That's all right. So I'm really interested to watch him. I grew up in Toronto, a Leaf fan too, so it'll be interesting to see how he can play. I think I'll be able to watch him in the Memorial Cup too. I'm picking Regina to win this series. What's your thought?
I'm also going with Regina. I think they've had some pretty tough series in the first two rounds. They went up against Lethbridge, and they didn't look great. They looked good. They didn't look great. And they went up against Calgary Hitmen and got through them. I think Sam Steele and Connor Hobbs have another level that they can still play to. They have looked good in some games, but it just hasn't been consistent enough to carry the Regina Pats the way that they have been through the entire regular season. I think they're going to turn on another level, and Sam Steele and Connor Hobbs are going to be fun to watch in this WHL finals. And yes, I agree, the Pats are going to be in the Mem Cup this coming May. End of May? Yeah, end of May. May 2-4 weekend, Peter. It's coming so fast.
May 18th.
May 18th.
Is when it starts.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's coming so fast.
I know, it's even faster.
Can't wait. We are going to preview the Memorial Cup in our next episode, so we're going to talk more in depth with who does make it to the Memorial Cup, so watch for that in the pretty much 2 weeks from now we'll be back. So, yeah, we're going to go more in depth with the four teams that are going to the Memorial Cup. And I think we both agree on the queue. The St. John Sea Dogs are not going to lose this finals.
Yeah, they're the team to beat, man. I mean, just they've got so much star power on their roster. I'm just, you know, going over some of the names. Matthew Joseph and Boko Imama, two Tampa Bay Lightning prospects. Matthew Joseph is leading them in scoring. A couple of Carolina players in Spencer Smallman, Julian Gauthier, a first-round pick from last summer, the goalie Callum Booth. So Carolina Hurricanes well-represented on St. John's. Of course, you've got Thomas Chabot, the Ottawa Senators' top prospect, the defenseman. He was the third candidate for the CHL Player of the Week, scoring 2 goals and 4 assists in 6 points in his last 4 games. Pretty impressive. They've also got Matthew Highmore, a free agent signed by the Chicago Blackhawks, and defenseman Jacob Zboril, Boston Bruins prospect, and Joe Valeno, potential first overall player for the, maybe not first overall, but a top prospect for the 2018 entry draft. There we go, talking about the 18 draft again. I mean, they're just an all-star roster. They'll be able to compete no problem with the likes of Erie or Mississauga or Regina. And then you look at the Armada's roster and, you know, hey, Pierre-Luc Dubois, that's amazing. Columbus Blue Jackets picked him third overall, shocker, at the draft last summer. And then some other guys.
Yeah, like we talked about Alex Barré-Boulay last episode, and he's just an unsigned overager. And yeah, so Pierre-Luc Dubois is pretty much the Armada. I agree.
Samuel Montalban, well, the Florida goalie prospect.
Yeah.
He's been really good for the Armada. And, you know, if he can steal them a couple of games, maybe Dubois can steal them a game. Maybe they can lean on their overagers. Joel Teasdale is a 17 draft prospect, but nowhere near a first round guy. Yeah, they got their work cut out for them. On paper, it looks like a slam dunk. But, you know, to be honest, I don't really watch a lot of the Armada play, so I'm not really familiar with them. But and they've made it to the Q finals, so I wouldn't say it'll be a sweep, but man, it's hard not to like St. John's.
Yeah, they're 12-2 in their three series. They swept the first two rounds and then went 4-2 in the third round. So they're not a big fan of losing. So I think it'll be the St. John Sea Dogs. I'm going to say 5. I think Armada will be able to pull one off there. I'm going to have my predictions in my prospect ramblings this Thursday, so check those out, along with a bunch of notes of AHL playoff hockey, because they'll be into the next round come Thursday. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, wait for it. And if you're listening to this on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, check back into the Thursday ramblings, and you'll see a whole bunch of more playoff talk. Peter, when we come back, we're going to be joined by Cam Robinson. We're going to get his take on the under 18 and draft eligible kids.
All right, we're back, and you're listening to Dauber Prospect Radio. I'm Peter Harling, he's Paul Zwambag, and now it's time for our guest segment, and we're joined by our very own Cam Robinson. Cam covers our Vancouver Canucks prospects. He's a bit of a draft expert as well, covering draft entry prospects. You can catch his work on the big site, Dauber Hockey, as well, with his weekly Frozen Pool Forensics article. Welcome to the show, Cam. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Peter. Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
All right. So, as I mentioned, you do a little bit of the draft eligible guys, and our last podcast guest, we talked a little bit about the U18 tournament. It was going on when we recorded. It is now in the books. It's all wrapped up. We got a gold medal winner in the United States, and let's talk about some of the prospects from the U18s, and let's start. Let's start with the gold medal winners, the Americans. Their U18 program culminates every year at this tournament, and they've been cleaning up gold like nobody's business. And the most intriguing player to me to come out of this tournament for the States has to be Doogie. I mean, this guy's like, he's like the hockey version of Rudy, isn't he? The little engine that can. Tell me what'd you take away from this tournament with him?
He's got to inspire you, doesn't he? Just a little buzzsaw. 5'3", tons and tons of skill. He's been small his whole career, obviously. I remember he was a commit to Ohio State when he was 14 or something like that. He's changed paths. He won't be going to Ohio State next year, but he had just a fantastic tournament. You know, he had three goals. One was the OT winner in the semifinal, which for my money was the best game of that tournament against the Swedes. 9 points in 7 games. Just a lot of fun to watch. He's not ranked to get selected this June, which isn't surprising just for his size. You know, a guy at 5'7", 5'8" might not get picked with his skill level. At 5'3", it's going to be even tougher. But you never know. Guys have late growth spurts. I remember Chris Tanev was about the same size when he was a draft eligible, got passed over a couple times, shot up to 6'2", and we all know the story. He's a top pairing defender now. So still a little bit of hope out there for Doogie.
Yeah, I mean, they say size doesn't matter in the NHL anymore, and I think this will be the real litmus test one. And I would consider a flyer on him in you know, the sixth or the seventh round, one of my last picks, and, you know, with the hopes, you know, Hail Mary that, you know, if he does grow 3 or 4 inches, you never know. He definitely showed he can play, but you know, also they say all things being equal, if you got two guys who have the same skill and compete level, and one guy's 5'3" and the other guy's 6'3", I'll take the 6'3" guy.
Yeah, no, definitely. So I think you could do a lot worse with your seventh round pick, though. You know, you take a Hail Mary, like you're saying, on a high skilled guy, and just see what happens, right? Let him marinate for 4 years in the NCAA. Maybe he puts on a few inches. And maybe he can surprise some people.
Yeah, precisely. Okay, so let's talk about two more guys from the U.S. before we move on to Finland. So the first one I want to talk about is the guy with probably the best name in the draft this year, Grant Mismatch. Tell us about his game.
Yeah, he's a super smart player, hardworking guy. In my opinion, he plays a really pro-style game. So that's going to translate really well for him moving up levels. He came up clutch a couple times for the Americans, and that probably pushes him into the first round conversation this year. I don't know if he'll get picked that high. Somewhere in the 40s, I'd say, would probably be a good spot for him. I just really like his work ethic and his smarts, which I value a lot in these draft eligible guys.
Yeah. I've never seen him play before the tournament, and you know, like, the guy can play, that's for sure. The other player that we want to talk about is a potential first-round candidate, and that's Ryan Poehling. What's his game all about, and do you think he'll go in the first round?
Yeah, I do think he'll go in the first round. I think I have him right around the mid-teens on my list. He was a true freshman this year at St. Cloud. Had a good season. Didn't put up a ton of points, but that's not to be surprised. For a guy who's 17 when the year started. Another smart player. He plays kind of a safe, sound game. He's got NHL size at 6'3". He's got a little bit of weight he's got to put on still. He plays at about a buck 85. Yeah, he had a really nice Hlinka tournament last summer. Kind of got him on the radar for that first round. And then had another really good tournament at the U18s there. Scored a few goals, 5 points in 7 games. I really like the way he processes the game. So he's good on both sides of the puck. You rarely catch him out of position, and he's got a little scoring touch too.
Excellent. Let's move our attention to the Finnish guys. Christian Vesalainen led the tournament with 13 points in 7 games. Did he need this tournament to help his draft stock this year?
Yeah, without a doubt. He was projected for, the past 18 months to be a first rounder, to be, potentially a high first round pick. Didn't have a great season playing against men in Finland and in Sweden. Didn't put up a ton of points. Again, not surprising for a 17-year-old playing against men. But his consistency was questioned at times. He's a power forward. They often take a little bit of time to get going. But playing against his peers, he did, obviously, like you were saying, have a terrific tournament. Really boosted his stock in some people's eyes. I do get a little concerned when a power forward kind of dominates with their size and speed and strength against guys their own age, but then kind of disappear against stronger opponents. That said, he did look very, very good at the U18s there. Great release. He does have great speed. He's a strong kid. Some people are putting him up in the top 10 now after that tournament. I'm a little hesitant to move that far. Somewhere in that 12 to 15 range, he could go a little earlier, he could go a little later, but I think he'll be a good project for a team.
Awesome. Another kid whose draft stock is kind of going up, and would you say he's the top D-man in the draft, Miro Heiskanen?
Yeah, I've had Heiskanen as the top draft-eligible D for some time now. I was a little more bullish on him than some throughout the season. What he was doing in the Liga and the Finnish top tier as a 17-year-old, I thought was really terrific. He was playing top minutes, all the tough assignments. He ended up playing top power play for the World Junior team. We all know that the Finns didn't bring a great squad this year to repeat, but I thought he still looked good out there. Really, really smart player. Skates really well. He has all the tools. He's number 2 on my draft list right now, which kind of raises some eyebrows with some people, but I've got him ahead of Nolan Patrick. I just think the likelihood of him becoming a top pairing defender is pretty high, and that's very valuable. So I think he'll be going top 5, especially after his great U18 tournament.
And that great tournament, 12 points in 7 games played, is pretty impressive from the back end. Would you be able to tell us a little more about Jani Ikonen?
Yeah, so Ikonen, he's another guy who's got he's a solid skater, really shifty, really nice hands, quick mitts, projected to go probably in and around the third, maybe the fourth round. He did have a really solid tournament, 4 goals, 4 assists in 7 games. The knock on him is that he can overhandle the puck a little bit, and you did see some of that at the tournament, especially in the gold medal game when the Finns were down. He was trying some things and often will skate himself into trouble. He could jump up into that second round if a team fell in love with his performance at the tourney. I know there are some scouts and some GMs that really love guys who show up on big stages. He's a solid middle round guy though.
All right, let's move on to Canada. They kind of disappointed a little bit in the tournament, but one player I wanted to get your take on, and you've seen him play a lot during the regular season at West, no doubt, is Cody Glass. He shows up pretty much straight off the plane after, I don't know, a long flight from Western Canada to Slovakia, and then dominates his first game out. What were your takeaways from Cody Glass, and where do you see him going in the draft?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cody Glass. Another player who's got just great vision, really cerebral, good on both sides of the puck, accomplished two-way player. Little thin, 6'2", plays 175, 180 pounds right now, but that's going to fill out. We've read some things that he's got a dad who's 6'5", and his uncle 6'7", both thick gentlemen. So I don't think filling out's going to be a problem for him. Like you were saying, he was kind of airlifted into the tournament potentially to really give Canada a boost up front. And, he did what he could. He had 3 points in 3 games, probably a little jet-lagged. I really like his smarts. He's compared to Mark Scheifele. Earlier in the year, I compared him to Ryan Johansson, another former Portland player who's it's now being thrown around there, those comparisons, and he's looking very favorable. I think that he won't probably drop past five if all things being equal. I think Vancouver's probably leaning on taking him unless somebody drops. Really, really quality player. I think he can be a top two center in the NHL in a few years.
Yeah, friend of the show, Hockey Prospect Radio host Shane Malloy's got him ranked third overall. So I think Vancouver will be good if they can get him at five. That'd be a great pick. Team Canada's captain, Anderson Dolan, didn't put up a lot of points in the tournament, but that's not necessarily his forte or his game. What was your take on the captain?
Yeah, he had a tough tournament, didn't record any points in five games for the Canadians. He was playing with Comtois up on that top line. They struggled to kind of get some chemistry going, get things moving. I really like him, though. Playing in Spokane with Yamamoto there, put up some big points. And he wasn't just leeching off of the talented winger. When Yamamoto was out of the lineup, he was still putting up points. Not the biggest guy, 5'11". Really young too. I think he misses the 2018 draft by a week, maybe less. So he's got a lot of developmental time ahead of him. I like drafting players that are a little bit younger, because having those extra 10, 11 months of development at that age is crucial, right? You can just imagine where that arc can go, that developmental arc. On my draft board, he's a late first rounder. I might be a little more bullish on him as well. But I could see him falling into the 30s and 40s, and someone picking up a very skilled player. Despite being a little bit smaller, he's just a bulldog on the ice too. He's not afraid to engage. He goes into those tough areas. Apparently, he's got great character and makeup off the ice too. So, just an all around quality player.
Yeah, I'd caution anybody who watched him play in this tournament and then maybe hasn't seen much of him play at all and you know, he's no good, dismiss him. It's just a short tournament, and there's a lot of factors that go into players having success or struggling in a tournament. And, you know, you look at the American roster, and these, like I said before, these are players that grew up playing together, lots of chemistry within their dressing room and their lines already. And then, you know, team like Team Canada, he gets thrown together. You got a guy from the West playing with a guy from the Q, and they've never played together before, and now they're asked to play on a line against the elite of their age group in the world. So, yeah, take it all with a grain of salt. And the fact that you said that he's a bit short but not a small player, I think that's a really important distinction. You can look at a player's profile and see what his height is and dismiss him as a small player. And, again, that's a really risky mistake to make, because just because a guy's short doesn't mean he's a small player. I look at Adam Ashgren playing for Kitchener, drafted by Florida. He's going to be just fine in the NHL, even though he's a short player, like same size as Mike Camilleri, and he does just fine, and they're very similar players. So the last guy on Canada that I wanted to talk about is a player I saw in my backyard in the playoffs, Mackenzie Entwistle with Hamilton. He had a first round matchup with Kingston, and I also saw him play at the Top Prospects game. Really like what I've seen. I've read a lot of scouting reports, and there's a lot of inconsistent labels associated to him. What is your take on him, and particularly what did you see at the U18s?
I think he had a great tournament. I believe he was the only Canadian to crack the top 20 scores in that tournament. He had 4 goals and 7 points in those 5 games. Typically, he's kind of considered more of a shutdown player, probably projecting as a third liner in the NHL. But he does flash that offensive game from time to time, too. You probably had some more viewings of him than I have, but I like the way he makes plays in traffic. He makes those quick little plays, quick passes, has his head up. As a quote-unquote shutdown player, he's obviously smart. He's responsible on his own end. I keep saying smart and cerebral. I really value that in players, and so I really liked his tournament, flashing that offensive skill to go along with that defensive play as well.
Yeah, I think smarts and skating are absolutely critical to make it in not only the NHL but pro hockey. If you want to play in it at a high level pro hockey, you gotta be able to skate and read the plays well. All right, cool. anyone from Russia we want to hit Cam up with, Paul?
Kirill Shlepets. Could you be able to tell us a little more about Shlepets?
Sure, yeah. Shlepets, he's playing in the MHL, so that's the minors over there in Russia. He had a solid season for a kid his age. He's had a really good tournament, scoring some goals, looks shifty out there. He is one of these guys that you can look at his height and then his weight and see that he is a very slight player, playing at about 150 pounds, 155 pounds. Really nice edges, though. He can cut on a dime, has that ability to change gears to create some separation. Some of the great small players have that today, Patty Kane, Johnny Gaudreau. He's got a little touch of that. Definitely not to that level. But I think his stock has been elevated from that tournament. He looked good playing with the Russians. They had a good tournament. A little disappointed they didn't get to the finals, I'm sure, but they came up with a bronze medal. I like him. Yeah, he's going to be a pretty good mid-rounder as well.
Yeah, like third or fourth round?
Yeah, that's probably where I'd have him ranked. I think he's 20-25 for European skaters right now, and I think he can bump that up a little bit after this tournament.
Excellent. All right, let's switch gears to goaltending. We don't really talk much about goaltending on this podcast, and I think some people get a little angry about it, but can you tell us a little bit about Maxim Zhukov? Where does he rank in the goalie prospects this year?
I think Zhukov is, he might not be underrated anymore, but he has been underrated all season. It's pretty rare that you see a 17, 18-year-old kid leave Russia to come over to improve his pre-draft resume. And that's exactly what Zhukov did, coming over to the USHL this season, playing for Green Bay. The Gamblers there, Casey Mittelstadt, played a little bit for him this year too. He put up a .926 save percentage at this tournament. It was very, very strong. He's a big guy, 6'3", athletic, but also technically he's got some good technical skills as well, which is obviously going to be huge as he transitions to the pro game. I think I saw him ranked as like the ninth best goaltender for Central Scouting. I've got him up maybe second or third best goaltender, and he could be a wild card guy that a team grabs in the second or third round and could be a starter for them one day. I think he's got a good chance of starting for the Russians at the under-20s next Christmas too.
All right, that is some really good stuff, Cam. Thanks very much. And so for all our listeners, I was remiss to mention that you do the Fantasy Hockey Prospect mailbag for us once a month on Dauber Prospects. So if listeners out there have a Keeper League prospect question or a draft prospect question and they want to file it into the mailbag, tell them where's the best way to do that. Do you put a post on the form on Dauber Prospects, or do you take them right in your right on your Twitter account, or what's the best way to hit you with questions?
Yeah, I open it up on the Dauber Hockey prospect thread there, as well as I open it up on Twitter. You can follow me at Crazy Joe Davola 3. Bonus points if anyone gets that reference. So you can fire me a question. I usually open it up about a week before the mailbag drops and pick 10 or 12 of the best and write a few thousand words on it.
Yeah, it's a great article, and it's even if you don't have a question for Cam, you should read the article, because there's a lot of interesting fantasy hockey strategies for keeper leagues in there. That it's a great read. So good job on doing that, Cam. Thanks very much for coming on, and we will see you at the rink.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, man. Cheers.
Great to hear some top prospect thoughts from Cam Robinson, and also some deeper mid-round prospects who had a pretty good under-18 world championships. Thanks to Cam for joining us, and be sure to follow him at CrazyJoeDavola3. And you can ask him questions for his monthly mailbag article and find his Frozen Pool Forensics articles at dauberhockey.com. We'll post those links in our show notes. We also can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much a few great reviews will do for our listenership. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. You can also follow or tweet our personal accounts, myself at Zwambag, Zwanbag, and Peter at Pharling, Pharling. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.